Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a Gundam Wing fan cast that is not a game for children. I'm Hugh.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Spence.
And we're talking about Gundam Wing episode 45, Signs of the Final Battle.
I think they're a little on the nose with the title there.
Yeah, it could be stalling for the final battle.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of animes do that, and I'm expecting a flashback episode anytime now.
Well, I felt like even right at the gate, the recapping in this episode was especially dense ahead of it. Like, it seemed to go on, and there was an unnecessary amount of things explained. Like, yes, we were here last episode. I remember this. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, yeah, fine.
Even a lot of the stuff that happens in this episode, like, we didn't need to see. Like, we get, like, a laborious sort of opening shot of Catra removing the Zero system from his cockpit, even though it looks different from what it did last episode.
But it also turns it into the Zero system on the mantle, right? Because you expect something more, you expect a second step, like, later in the episode, someone else is going to plug it in, or, you know, someone else is going to have their turn with it. But no, he's just like, I don't need it anymore. And then they just kind of leave it there. Like, there's no follow through.
There's, like, a lot of stuff going on with Hero this episode that doesn't go anywhere either.
Well, one thing that I did appreciate but then got really mad about was that it started off with Zex saying, clearly, I let Dorothy have too much responsibility. And I went, finally! But then there were no repercussions for her. I was very upset by that.
Well, she doesn't get to play with her VR helmet anymore, but like, she was not, there was no dressing down.
There was nothing.
She still has direct access to White Fang command structure, like right at the top. Okay.
She still has direct access to his sister. She is, like, giving her the guided tour.
Okay, but everybody has access to Relena in this episode. Like, resistance, a French resistance fighter sneaking in from the Second World War have access to conversations with Relena. And not only that, that scene with Hildy where Hildy sneaks in and she's in there. Mm-hmm. Then she's like, hey, well, I'm going. You want to come? You staying? You coming? You want to stay? You can stay? Okay. But, you know, I can give you a ride. No? Okay, fine.
Yeah, like, what does she still have to do there? Like,
she thinks she's Luke Skywalker on the Death Star, thinking that Darth Vader can still be redeemed.
Oh, wow. That
like, do you have more window time that you need to stare forlornly out at space for?
I don't know. She's having Big Brother time in her head. And that's both creepy and... No, it's just creepy.
But Big Brother does, we do get one solid piece of advancement in that it seems like Zex has decided where the final fight of this show is going to be.
We sort of have the lines being drawn because we get not one, but two scenes in which the whole point of the scene is to establish that Trace's forces are going to be assembling at this space, this abandoned resource mine. Because we get Noin and Sally saying, there sure are a lot of Zex's suits showing up here. I guess this is where the final battle's going to be. And then we cut to Earth.
Hang on. That's the saving grace of this whole thing, is that I only had to see Noin's freaking shirt for 30 seconds.
Yeah, like, I think they're just like, remember these two characters? They're still wearing those same two shirts.
I did appreciate, though, that there was that lingering shot of Noin at the end of their scene where it seems like maybe she should be having internal dialogue or something, but she's not, and it just lingers on the fringe, and then it cuts away.
Yeah, well, you had to know that space moms were there.
Like, Noin is, like, the protagonist in Drive in that she's not actually doing anything or moving, but it's like, there's so much deep internal thought going on there. He's eating a pie. Don't read into this.
Yeah.
It's just pie.
But then we cut to Trace, and Trace just literally says the same thing.
Yeah, well, he's also talking peace and order, which is kind of interesting, because I expected him to be talking about the honor of the fight, but...
Well, no, I think he's, like, picking up Relena's playbook, is that, you know, so they... Relina sort of reorganized everyone about around this idea of peace that we still don't know what it is. And now we're going to defend the peace.
Yeah, she hadn't finished writing that playbook yet.
She kept asking everybody what the ending was.
Yeah, and so she's okay, I'm going to use another pop culture reference. She's George R. R. Martin. She's like, I will finish it when I'm good and ready.
Yeah.
Once I'm done staring into space.
And making a TV show about these characters.
We do get a lot of cool space shots this episode, though.
We do.
I appreciate it.
We also get the Gundam wing pilots all together and attempting fraternization, attempting having some kind of team building exercise in group chess.
No, it's not group chess. Like, Wu Fei is just sort of like, F you, you take too long. Click.
Damn it, Droa.
Although, honestly, I think Duo's just bad at chess and he's trying to get everyone else to play for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just sort of like, where should I move? Where should I move?
Castle!
Until, like, Hiro or Wu Fei or Catchers are like, well, for the love of God, go here.
Yep. Something's happening in Hiro's mind where he's just sipping on his straw.
Yeah, we get a lot of like weirdness with Hiro this episode that doesn't get resolved.
There's a little bit of an implication that it's Relena thoughts, right?
Yeah, it's implication that he's thinking about Relena or the thing that we see in the opening is it recaps him saying that Zero says he has no future. So maybe he's thinking about Zex.
And my mind just went there to a threesome.
Dude!
Threesomes
with siblings. That is not acceptable.
It's very uncomfortable. But back my head to the went
George
there.
R. Martin comparisons.
Well, back to, you know, a lot of the anime tropes.
Yeah. So on the flip side of things, there's a little bit of debate between the leader of White Fang, whose name escapes me just at the moment, and Zex.
Keens,
yes, that's right.
Yeah, who is always fabulously posing in his blue vest.
He's got a Tommy Hilfiger vest, and he's going to strut and strut. Like, he's a former model. He's a former fashion model.
That dude is like, he grew up in ball culture, and he is working it.
He understands from that the importance of symbolism, and he feels like he can't have the other Gundams wandering around because it detracts from the symbolism of their one mobile suit now. So he's on and on about how they're going to handle it. He decides essentially Zex is like, I'm going to take a nap. If you feel like invading somewhere, you just do what you got to do. I'm just tired.
Everybody who's not needed, take a nap.
Also going to take a nap. I was like, well, I'm going to launch a bunch of mobile suits. And he's like, okay.
But the better part is that Dorothy's sitting there going, yeah, this ain't going to work.
Well, I mean, she's not wrong. I mean, this is the same plan he's tried twice before, and it didn't work that time either.
Mm-hmm.
Although she has no right to be snippy because, like, the last time it didn't work was her fault.
Yeah. I do like that he says to her, this is not a game. And we're like, yeah, but to her it is.
Like, it's war.
War is games.
But meanwhile, we do see a scrappy little transport shuttle arrive at Libra. And it's Hildy.
And this totally explained.
Mini-9.
This explained the beret from earlier episodes. Because she has turned into full form French resistance fighter at this point.
Yeah, like, she's going there to gather intel that, like, no one asked for and they probably don't need.
But she's going to fight this war her own way.
Yeah, she's like, you're going to be mad at me, but I'm going to do this in my own way. I'm like, do they need this? Is this a problem?
Well, Libra has the big cannon, the big world-ending cannon. It's the plans to the Death Star.
Yeah, but they explicitly needed the plans to the Death Star.
Yeah,
it's, like, this has not been a thing up to now that they need these plans.
I love the notion that this is a resistance fighter who's in sort of a gig economy position where they're like, well, listen, I know I haven't been hired to do the plan stealing yet, but if I just do the plan stealing and bring it to them, surely they'll pay me.
Oh my god, that sounds like a really bad subplot in one of the video games I play.
So, and the funny part is she's actually highly successful. It's like, why has no one considered this before?
She's highly successful for the first two-thirds of her mission.
Yeah, okay, fair point. And if she just used some sort of communication array to send the data outward, we might have been in a better position.
Or if she left in any way that did not involve exploding a hangar.
And stealing a Taurus.
But in the meantime, she manages to wander into Relena's room, which I guess
She walks into Dorothy giving Relena the tour of the area where they're building mobile dolls, and neither of them is wearing a hard hat. Like, this is definitely a hard hat area, Dorothy.
So did anybody else find it weird that at the end of that conversation, essentially they realize they both know some of the Gundam pilots and that they're kind of on the same side. But at the end of that conversation, Hildy asks, what's your name? And Relena, being Relena, is like, Relena Pacecraft.
And she's like, okay, good luck.
Yeah, well, there was two things that I thought were hilarious there. One, Hildy just being like, great, see ya. And the other part, Relena being Relena, never thinks to ask Hildy what her name is. What's your name?
But there is like a scene in that shot where Hildy's eyes go big, where she's like, oh shit. This is the queen of the earth. And this is like, cool, do you want to ride?
Yeah.
But the way that she does that is she like sneaks up behind her and is like, hey, do you also know one of the Gundam pilots?
Well, she's doing her recon right then, so she overheard everything.
Yeah, which they smack to me of the energy of, you know one of these idiots too, huh? So you know one of my idiot boyfriend's idiot friends?
Hey, don't talk smack about Captain Sassy Pants. He's my space boyfriend, damn it. Well, I guess that makes me Hildy, but anyway.
I think she probably has the right to be salty. He's been living on her couch for 6 months.
It's true. Not contributing, not joining the resistance there, you know.
Hanging out in, like, poorly lit warehouses.
Yep.
With oil lamps.
It's just bad news all around. But if we backtrack just a tiny bit while Dorothy is giving Relena the tour and being like, oh, these are the new Gundams and they've been programmed with all the moves from Hero and Troa.
She then jumps
and flies off in the most glorious fashion. And I'm wondering how low is the gravity there, because she's not a superhero.
No. Okay, gravity is exactly as low as they need it to be to save animation budget.
For dramatic purposes.
So because they will like walk through a room and then glide out of it.
At standard pace, yeah. It was an amazing exit, though, you have to admit.
That whole scene is like, these have the mobile data from Hero, Yui, and Troa Barton already built into them, so they're probably unstoppable. And really is like, Hero could stop that. And Dorothy's like, yeah, I know.
The better part of that is
that she's like, yeah, I know. Anyway, I got some work to do. And then she takes off, but she clearly takes off directly to go work on the mobile suits.
Also, she's like, why would she do that?
No, she is literally going to the cockpit or the bridge so she can sass Keen some more.
Oh yeah, sass Keen some more, yeah.
But why wouldn't she have Relena escorted back to her quarters? Relena is technically a prisoner. This makes no sense.
No, she doesn't care at this point. She's like, just go wherever, it's fine. I don't care.
I mean, if Relena was anybody else, there might be a suspect of, tampering with the systems or anything.
Yeah, she's too...
Like, I think Dorothy is comfortable in the knowledge that she knows Relena can't do that.
Kind of useless.
She's like, you're not going to mess with anything because you're A, a pacifist, and B, you have no idea how.
Yeah. And Relina does admit that she is useless. And I kind of went, huh, you are amazingly self-aware.
Like, Relina gets her butler to do all her hacking for her.
That's because Pagan is awesome.
He is.
So Hildy makes her break away, and they send a while. Actually, White Fang originally, Keynes doesn't originally send out the two fancy suits, but then Dorothy goads him into it and chases down Hildy's escaping shuttle, at which point we finally get Duo breaking away from the gang. We get a lot of nice little moments with the gang in this episode, but anyway.
Yeah. So basically we have the five of them playing chess, and Hero's sort of like not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then Keynes's wave after wave of mobile dolls arrive, and they have to like coolly split from the table to go fight them.
Yep.
Yeah, we finally get a very GIF-worthy split up scene. Avengers assemble scene.
Meanwhile, Hildy is piloting her escape shuttle to the Piecemealion.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's got a floppy disk with all of the information on it.
The floppy disk kept changing size, and that bothered me. like she's got a zip disk, but like when she pulls it out of the computer and when she's like fishes it out at the end, it's like the size. It's like 8 inches wide.
It's the ever expanding floppy disk.
Yeah.
Just depends on how much information is stored on it.
If she had just sort of like casually left on another transport, if she had taken any kind of circumspect route to Piecemealion, mm-hmm. but no, she's just gonna like blow a hatch and sprint for it.
Yeah, she obviously managed to land casually enough. Why can't she just follow the same? Anyway,
because like, she's in a different ship. She stole a Taurus.
Like, yeah, well, she has a transport.
Yeah, she had a
Why
transport.
Why doesn't she like, yep, delivery's done. Have a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, now I also wanted to note that with the two chaser mobile suits, we see Hero and Troa's faces sort of hallucination faces over top of the suits' faces, so that we know who's got whose personality.
We get a callback because when Hero was in Wing Zero and he was fighting Mercurius, like at the end of season one, when he was going on a rampage and Catra got back into Mercurius to stop him, like he had that vision of Relina on top of Mercurius. Now Relina had the same vision of him with the psychic noise that they always make.
Yeah, well, I'm starting to wonder if there's not an actual giant holographic projector on top of the suits, because when Duo meets up, so Duo manages to arrive in heroic fashion, just in time to block a death shot on Hildy's escape, and so he goes against the two suits, and he just kind of, I guess we're supposed to take it that he intuits from their fighting style, which is which, but he gets the exact same facial hallucinations. And at that point, I was like, no, it's just a holograph. It's just a thing they've injected into the suit.
I mean, that would make it so much easier for people who are fighting them.
Yeah.
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 To know who's in what suit.
Oh, so you're Hero fighting style? Okay, I know how to beat that. Oh, you're Troa? Okay, I know how to beat that. By the way, Duo is the god of death.
He is.
Yeah.
And he cuts right through both of them.
It's not even much of a fight. Like, he really just plows through them.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have a ton of time at this point in the episode, and they wanted to sort of wrap things up. So he like cuts through the V8, and then the Mercurius throws its, like, uses its shield as a projectile. Mm-hmm. So he's able to get in there and cut it in half. And then pose for the camera like he's just finished a fighting game. Where he's like, next time, use my data.
Yeah. And it's like, no.
I had so many questions after this fight. Like, this felt like a fanboy argument starter in that, is this fight supposed to prove that Duo is better than Troa and Hero at being a pilot? or
well, no, because they even say that none of like the Gundam, any of the Gundam pilots wouldn't lose to a mobile doll, even if it's a mobile doll that's been trained with their data.
Right. So basically, it's just continuing. It's taking that lesson of the automated suits are never going to be as good to the next.
Yeah, it sort of reached that point where the Gundam pilots are superhuman now, so they wouldn't lose to these guys that literally kicked their ass before.
Right. Okay.
And also, like, this was a bad plan because they were like, remember those two suits that got their asses kicked by Wing Zero? We rebuilt them as mobile dolls so they can fight Wing Zero.
Yeah, worse. Yay. They were kind of taking them to try to lure all of the guys out. So, like, you're going to take all five of them? Anyway.
Like, I'm not sure what their plan for those was before Dorothy was like, I'm going to use them now. Launch.
She's
like, I give the orders on the person. No, you don't.
I feel like Dorothy is trying really hard to sabotage everything so that at the end she could be like, but I was really on your side the whole time.
I think Dorothy is continuing to plan her machinations. Because maybe she's still on Trace's side. I'm not sure what her end goal is here, aside from I'm going to cause as much chaos as possible because chaos is funny. Like, okay. She is Loki of this series.
Yeah, I'm not. My theory would be that she's jealous of Keynes's power under Zex, and that's why she's messing with him. But
like, Keynes doesn't have any power though. He's only able to do anything because Miliardo's asleep.
Well, I mean, Miliardo did say, "Do whatever you want," literally. So there's
he's
that.
Sort of like, but- eh. He's like, do what you need to. But as long as it does, like, and even she's like, as long as this doesn't, like, sap our strength for the real fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I will say is that I think she also may have a little wardrobe envy and really want that vest. The end of the show, he's dead. She has his bloody vest, and she's like, oh, yeah, this is a nice fit.
Speaking of blood, like, when we do get, like, the cockpit open, and Hildy takes out the disc with a shaking, trembling hand, yeah. And it's suddenly, like, covered in blood from the tiny cut she got on her arm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's got some bleeding under her shirt that we're not quite seeing.
Yeah, like, this episode, like, was doing the whole, like, she's dying by cuts. But it didn't show a ton of them. There was, like, a trickle on her forehead.
Yep. And then, when they get her on the Piecemealion, they show her being hooked up. And they do a little ad for the Red Cross because they've got a bag of blood.
Right there, yeah.
Right there.
I'm assuming that they just, like, grabbed Howard's assistant and was like, we're taking a pint. Deal with it.
And luckily, he has O negative, so it'll work for anybody.
Well, they just put Gundanium into the blood, and then it's universe. Because it's the strongest blood there is.
Yes. Unfortunately, the blood also contains the Zero system.
And so now she's going to have hallucinations and believe that she can know who's supposed to live and die.
This would be a much better series, honestly. Like, I think that Hildy doesn't do much after this. Like, the whole point was that someone needs to tell Hiro that Relena's on Libra.
On Libra, yeah.
Because then we do end with them both staring out windows, doing the whole
across
anime
the stars.
Heroine, anime hero, saying each other's names.
Yeah, this is very much a Star Wars episode. Like, it has it written all over it. We have to steal the plans from the Death Star, and I have to stay and try to convert my brother.
It's definitely another episode where they're sort of like, we haven't really talked about Trace getting into space, so we need an episode before he can do that where we can say that they're going to space. because we didn't have time before. So
right.
Here's how we'll fill the rest of the episode.
Mm.
They'll grab the plans, even though we haven't needed the plans before.
Even though we've never mentioned this previously.
So if that wraps up the episode, Spence, what was your favorite part of this episode?
Oh, you're Yurelina Peacecraft? Okay, bye.
Also, like, when that scene comes up, she's, like, standing on, like, against the wall while Relina's sitting. But and, like, there's, like, two cups like, on the table.
Well, also, her posturing is weird because she's, like, flush against the wall, hands spread out, like, I'm trying really hard not to be seen. I'm like, girl, you have fluorescent lighting all around you.
Yeah, like, that is a very well-lit room for her to try and stealth around in. While you're having a conversation with a person that can see you.
And it's not even hushed or anything like that. So clearly if somebody were walking by, they'd be like, huh, who's Relina talking to? There's another woman on here. Oh, well. Do-do-do-do-do.
I mean, she was like in a White Fang uniform, so why would anyone?
Well, I did.
Yeah, it was a lot of unnecessary tactics in this episode, yeah. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. But just the nonchalance slash, okay, I am not touching that one, bye, it amused me greatly.
Okay, Jared, how about you?
I'm definitely going to have to specifically point to Noyne's fringe, the linger shot on Noyne and the internal dialogue
you
that just was not there.
You can't see me, but I'm flipping off the microphone right now.
The Noyne is sad. Part of like I felt like there would need to be a subtitle where it's like Noyne was sad.
Oh yeah, God.
Noyne I will remember this.
Almost go back and dub in the sad Hulk music.
By the way, if you ever watch Food Wars with the subtitles on it, it will say things like reluctantly chewing and orgasmic squeal. Buttery squeal, and it's great. Subtitles are awesome. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, and my favorite part is definitely Dorothy like setting up everything in this episode by being like, and here are these two mobile suits that you may have forgotten, and here's what they did, and here's why they're important, and now they're mobile dolls. And I have to go now. Bye! I'm not going to make sure you get back to the room where we're keeping you or anything. Just
I'm just going to fly away.
I don't care. Bye.
Dramatically fly away.
Like, for no reason. Like they realized that, like, Dorothy needed to not be there for this scene, so she just left. I've got work to do.
No, I think it's even more than that. I think that's probably the only point on the ship that it's possible to make that exit. There's some sort of microgravity well right in that one spot. So this whole lead up and tour was just her trying to position Relena right in the right place to be like, and I'm out.
But let's hear what Jason had to say.
Okay, what's going on, guys? This is Jason of Nostalgia Pilots, and I'm going to be recording a short little bip about episode 45, the final signals of battle, or the signals for the final battle. The reason why I'm doing this by myself is because the gang has convened to do the episode, and they are making predictions on what I'm going to be talking about. And honestly, I only really have two things that I'm actually going to talk about. Like, so hopefully they pick these things. First off, I'm very happy to have some duo in this episode. I'm all about it. I'm cool with it. I love it. And because he's my favorite Gundam pilot. Like, I love the Death Scythe. It's fantastic. But so as I watched this episode while I was at work, I literally was like, wait a minute. Why is Noyne asking Relina who she is? She knows who Relina is. And then it hit me in the face because, spoiler alert, they didn't know how to do different character designs. And that's Hildy. And I'm like, my brain. So this whole episode, every time I see Hildy, I'm thinking it's Noyne. And I'm just like, oh my God. It's really unnerving in this episode. Just she looks so much like her. I mean, the hairstyle, the hair color, the it's just so much Noin. But also, Relina, I still have things to do here. What do you have to do? What are you doing there? Besides getting in the way. And I want to say, the second thing I want to talk about is how sassy is Dorothy in this episode? Not only is she throwing shade like nobody's business, but she's just like, I'll sit here and watch you fail. Like, oh my God. Like, she is such a bitch to this guy. So bad. So bad. Oh. But yeah, those are the two things that stuck out to me in this episode. I did love the fighting. I did love the cool, like, the duality of, like, Duo having to fight these imitations of Hero and Troa. And I like that. I like that a lot. And it's kind of circled onto in the episode earlier when Catcher removes the Zero system and he's like, I don't need this anymore, but don't worry, I can still fight. I like that a lot because these mobile dolls are basically an extrapolation of kind of that Zero system type deal. And Duo surpasses them. It's pretty great. Anytime the Death Scythe can shred his stuff and the God of Death can come back, you know, I'm all about it. So yeah, those are my thoughts. Miliardo and Treyas are being moody bitches as always. Although they're getting ready to handle business, though. Things are getting to a head. But my favorite part of this entire episode still has to be Dorothy just being so bitchy. Like, just, it's uncontrolled about how she treats this guy. So, yeah. Now I'm going to have to wait till the episode comes out so I can listen and see what they predicted. Bye.
That doesn't make sense at all. You don't know what you're talking about. It's complete. I'm just kidding.
We've totally heard this clip that he's sending us before.
Totally heard it. And, you know, he's basically saying that Dorothy and Hero need to get together again.
That's a good prediction. And yeah. I will agree with that prediction.
Yeah.
Okay. So, until next week, you can find all of my business at hughjodonnell.com.
You can find all of mine over at skinner.fm.
You can find me over at, what are my websites? ResidentMoon.com and Gameschool.tsrpn.com. And you can find all of Jason's stuff at
TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com. And that's two, this is the number two.
Yeah.
You can find all of our show notes and things of that nature over at NostalgiaPilots.com and follow us on Twitter at NostalgiaPilots. Send us a message. Let us know how we're doing. Like us on iTunes. iTunes is still a thing for the moment.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
We should get on Spotify.
Yeah, we should be on a lot of things. I should work on that.
But anyway, until next time. Friends. Okay, bye.
Okay, until next time, I still have things to do here.
Yes. Yes, this will work perfectly. We'll add a little audio here. We'll watch a movie here. We'll record here. Yes! It's alive! Alive!
No, it's not alive. It's just the Horror Fest.
But it's...
No, it's just the podcast Horror Fest at TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com.
But it is horrifying and spooky.
Well, yeah, 31 days of podcast is horrifying, but the movies are definitely up for debate. Which they can do at facebook.com/nerdytoMe.
And we can...
No. No. End the promo. Nope. You're done.